This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 487. It's the weekend podcast. I'm joined by the fella on my right there. Is that you, Pete? Am I right?
Yes, hello.
And on my left there, it's little Steve, little Stevie Jingles.
You all right,
Steve?
Hello there.
Have you had a nice week, lads?
It's been all right. Nothing too major has happened, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anything, Steve, life-changing? Oh, Steve, you went to an awards show, didn't you? And you won an award.
What?
Well, yes. I came back to London. It wasn't my award, really. It's just a show that I help out on.
Take the credit, Steve.
Yes. What's the award?
It was the
best investor.
Best breakfast show under 2 million in the UK.
Best investing newcomer it was.
yes.
Yeah.
Smallest trade.
Smallest trade. And the award for the smallest trade for 0.0001 pence. Stevie Martin.
Thank you.
I've got to say, and also, Steve, happy birthday.
Yes.
You're both late on the case on that one.
Yeah, well, do you know what, though? As I logged onto Skype, I also saw another birthday message there. It said, why didn't you say happy birthday to Tony Manini?
Oh, big Tony.
So it's a happy birthday to you.
Tony.
Happy birthday to you.
Tony.
Happy birthday, Tony Manini. Happy birthday to you. Yeah. Now, listen, Asia Met has been very, very volatile last couple of weeks. I put limit orders in. Every 10% down, right? Because I'm, you know, and yes. Slightly more, you know. And I bought a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. And I got an email, I'm not going to say who it's from someone who's also an Asia Met holder. Every time there's a little dip, they start to panic. They say, are you still in? Are you still in? Are you still holding? And I say, yeah. And this has happened about 10 times now in the last couple of months, you know. Are you still holding? Are you still in? Are you still holding? Every time I've said the same answer, yeah, I'm still in. I said, listen, it drops. You know the score. I've got limit orders in. Every 10% drop, I'm buying some. They're automated all the way. And then just last week, it dropped, right? Are you still in? Hi, Justin, are you still in on email, right? And I said, nope, sold a lot. Cut my losses and run. And he started already panicking. I said, I'm only kidding. I've sent you 10 emails saying the same thing. Surely by now you understand the position I'm taking here. And I said, you know, manage your risk, appropriately. But, I'm happy. this story hasn't changed. You know, I've interviewed Tony several times. I've had him on the podcast. I met him in the UK Investor Show. And I do believe...
Happy birthday to him.
I sang happy birthday to Tony Mini. Listen, this is a good investment. At the moment, right? Yes. I mean, like I said, my strategy is this. It's quite easy to get carried away punting on stocks, you know, especially on Twitter. If you follow people ramping stocks all day long, up and down. Oh, this one could go. This one's just about to go. Oh, you better jump in now before it leaves the station. And, you know, that's all the time happening on Twitter. And I do get caught up now and again, and I have a little punt. But my aim is to find, you know, the holy grail, and that is a small cap stock that's maybe single digit, you know, million cap company, and, you know, maybe double digit, but also hopefully it'll go to triple digit. You know, I'm talking about, you know, 150, 200, 300 million market cap from 10 million, hopefully. That's, you know, that's ideal. That's what I want to look for. And at the moment, I've got quite a few, you know, you've got to play your options, spread your field a bit, hedge the bets here, because, you know, it's a slim chance of, you know, quite a few stocks doing that. But, you know, I think three stocks could do that in my portfolio right now. And one of those is Asia Met, I believe, can do that. Another one is Buckley Energia. And another one is Coovs. I believe that, because I think the management there and what they're doing there, the market, everything. So those are three, I think, they're heading in that direction, and I'm scaling up. And when they have a weakness in price, I'm happy now. I'm confident I know enough about, you know, those companies to scale in when it comes back, to sort of average down, you know? And I don't do that with all companies. I'll only put a little bit in to start off with. And then if I'm confident enough about the company that I'm happy that, you know, it's going in the right direction, then I'll scale in, you know? But, so I just think, I thought, it's Tony's birthday. We say, listen, this is an opportunity, you know? Do you remember when there was flying? Went up to, well, now there's a chart on these. Well, there's a chart. This is a psychology of... you know, of people's psychology is back to front, you know, and that's what we have to get over as an investor. When the share price goes down, people start worrying. When in actual fact, in any other situation, in every other, you know, if you're buying your favorite car, golf clubs, shoes, anything, price goes down, you go, well, I'll buy some of that, you know, you jump in there. But yet, it's the same product, it's further down the line. You haven't had a bit of any news yet, you know, the last few days, last month or so, people start worrying. You know, and I think, flip your psychology around. It's now cheaper. The thing you were buying when it was spiking, it was expensive then, and now it's cheaper. That's the way you should look at it, isn't it?
But the way I was looking at, and a few stocks like Asia Met at the moment, I just think there's a sort of, my reading of the situation is people just get bored, don't they? Nothing happens. Yeah. There's no news flow for a few weeks, and people say, oh, well, on to the next one, and they leave, and you go, well, but that story is still a great story and there's some real potential there, but you've got to be in it for the next, well, I don't know, might be 2, 3, 5 years or something, mightn't it? But I just see that as a buying opportunity when you're getting, you're coming off the boil, if you like. But there's nothing changed fundamentally, then crack on and buy some more.
Yeah, well, exactly. As long as you're scaling in and you're happy that you're not overly risking your portfolio.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know what could happen. Let's say, you know, you've got to factor in the worst-case scenario, but often the worst-case scenario doesn't happen. But you've got to have your eye on the ball there just in case it does happen. Because, you know, I'm not going to check all my portfolio in there, because if the worst-case scenario happened, if it's some kind of revolt or, you know, a coup in Indonesia now, then we'd be in a bit of trouble, you know?
Yes, or an earthquake.
Yeah, anything, exactly, anything, you know. So you've got to understand that. You've got to, and if you want to be, get rich overnight, and also have the chance of going bankrupt overnight, you can put all your money in there. That's the chance you take.
But the other thing as well, and I've just said that, it's a buying opportunity. I haven't bought any more, because I'm looking at it going, you know, where's it going? Will it go down? Will more people get bored? And so will it slide? Are we going to see near a 2p, and then I'll buy or something?
But you don't know where it's going down. That's why I have an automated system. Every 10% drop, I buy a bit more.
Yeah.
And also those increments are more each time. So what if it goes down by 10%, I'm also buying 10% more.
Peter, so, it's all about risk.
It's all about...
Let's be right, Steve.
Steve, when's the last time you bought some Asia Met shares?
I literally have no money left. I bought some...
I've done the lot.
I had a little bit of cash left over, and I popped that into old Berkeley.
Berkeley, yes.
Berkeley, eh? Berkeley.
Right, Berkeley. Berkeley, yeah.
Are you in the Berkeley in the year?
Steve's a year older now, you see. He's
I'm much wiser this week.
How old are you now, Steve?
35.
Five. I know. I even know that. Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, older than me, isn't you? And you're just about shaving now, aren't you?
It's getting there.
Can you shave though? I mean, can you grow a beard?
they don't join up yet. So I've got, you know, the bit above the lip and the bit below the lip, and then nothing in between.
Well, we are. Maybe next birthday you'll be able to join those up. Yeah,
maybe.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice.
Okay.
Any other? What have you been? Have you bought anything this week, Pete? I mean, I don't understand. When's the last time you bought some? Because there's no guarantee it'll go down to 2 pence. People wait for that. And you can't ask why you have to have little steps in. If it goes there, I'll take that out. But also,
yes.
I'm risking, at the moment, I think it's now taking up about 10% of my portfolio. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to start going overexposing a little bit if it starts going a bit more, because I'll scaling in. But, you know, I feel quietly confident in this stock, you know, barring something out of the left field happening that we're not expecting.
Yes.
But, you know, I chatted to Tony. It was nice to chat to him. It was the second time I met him in person at the UK Investor Show. And, you know, he's a man with a plan. And,
yes.
I said to him, Tony, you know, you're travelling a lot. You do a lot of work. You're very busy. And I said, you know, the things you've done before. I said, you obviously don't need the money, do you? I said, you can retire. He said, look, I could have retired 10 years ago. You know, I said, I enjoy it. You know? And so that's what I like. You know,
that kind of
passion for what he's doing. He's going to Indonesia, going to Australia, going to London. It's non-stop, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And he doesn't, you know, he obviously has a belief and he doesn't want a failure of any kind on his CV, does he? He's in it to make it another successful business. So, it's very positive. I don't know when I'm going to, but yeah, I should probably put in an order and follow your sort of plan.
You've got to have a system, guys. You've got to have a system. And do you know what?
What was that book that you read?
Well, I don't know, the hardest thing to do is to stick to the system, honestly, because human emotions. I did it today, I've got to admit. Right, listen, twice, right? I've got a limit order in it at 2.19. And twice, I think the, what was it by? Let's look at the price here. But twice, I think it came within a whisker of filling it. And it dropped, like, and twice said violent drops, like, you know, 8, 10%, I think. On Friday, it went down 8%. And that's right, it went down to a low of 2, or the mid was 2.175. So the offer wasn't 2.19, it was about 2.21 or something like that. So, you know, it's a smidgen within that. In the end, I just bought some more. And I didn't stick to it. So I thought, I'm going to buy some more. So it's not going to reach my limit. Because twice it's really bounced off that level there. It's a nice little support level there. It's bouncing off. And I think, is it going to go down there or not? But I still got my limit order in there. But I had to buy, and that's it. So the emotion in me, you know, overtook me there to bought some more. And I thought, anyway, but I'm happy there. You know, if you look now, it is dipping down. It's got a little bit of a support level there. It may dip down over the Brexit. Oh, don't mention the B word.
So what's your cash ratio now? Because obviously in previous weeks you've been saying you'd moved a lot into cash. Are you now starting to spend some of that?
I've still got about, I say, 65%. 60%
right.
Cash, yeah. So I'm happy it can cover.
How have you got 65% in cash when you're constantly investing? How much money do you have?
That's a very good question there from Steve.
Well, I say I have that in cash, right? I'd say about 30% of that is in limit orders. Mm. So they're sitting there waiting to be, you know, scooped up on dips, you know, on existing stock I have. So in actual fact, it's not free cash. But they are waiting to buy more of the stocks I have already. So I had like 60% in a Royal Dutch Shell, didn't I? I had a big couple of chunks in other stocks as well, and I just skimmed off the top. So I just rather than have 5% in a stock, in a penny stock, I just took it down to 1% in quite a few of them, in about 4 or 5 of them. Free Royal Dutch Shell plus those, and I'm, you know, and if something rises at the moment, I'll top slice a little bit. You know, keep top slicing.
But for a lot of people, but like 1% portfolio might be 100 quid, mightn't it? Which isn't a lot.
That's true. So you may need to up the, 5-10% maybe. Yeah, but, there are people out there who still, you know, want to be rich and they're happy to go, you know, 50, 60% in a stock. And I just think, part of me thinks, you know, if you're prepared to risk that, fair enough. That's what you're risking. You know, if you lose that, then you've got to start again. Losing half that chunk, I don't want to do that. So I think there is a way of, you know, earning decent money without putting it all on the table. So red or black?
Do you know what? Something that got me excited about shares again this week. I started watching that new season on Sky Atlantic. Billionaire. Have you heard of that?
What's it called? Billion or Billionaire?
No, it's called Billions. Sorry, with Damien Lewis. Very good. Highly recommend it.
Oh, that's a Steve recommendation. Very good. Highly recommend.
That, yes.
Mm.
Sky. And I'm not saying that. I'm so. Is it about a man called Billy Inn?
Billy Inn, yes. No, he's
oh,
the guy,
Billy!
Guy who runs an investment company. And he does very well. And he's getting investigated by the district attorney.
Oh, it sounds like he's doing well. is that the qualification? That's the qualification for doing well. You've been investigated by the DA office. He's doing so well, he's been investigated. How is he doing so well? We're jealous.
He's done so well, he's gone to prison.
That's actually pretty much the plot.
What do you mean? Is it drama or is it fact?
No, it's drama.
Oh, is it? I don't have to think of that. I don't know, part of me, as I get older, I'm disliking drama. I've always hated musicals. I don't see the point of them. Why are people on stage singing Link? It's not real. I went to see Les Miserables years ago and walked out halfway through. Why are they singing every lyric? Every line?
And of all the musicals, that's
I know, but every line? Every line? Why do they sing every line? You know, oh, my shoelace is undone. Oh, I've got a blister on my toe. My back is itchy. Oh, do you fancy a cup of tea? Just talk.
You should do a podcast like that. That'd be good.
Yes. Welcome to the Investing Podcast. We've been investing stocks and shares this week. How are you doing, Steve? I'm bust. It's all going down the drain.
At least that makes sense. I didn't understand the one about the shoelace. What music was that?
It's called Les Miserables. I mean, miserable. It was absolutely miserable. I walked out. I went across the pub across the road in London halfway through with my brother, and I thought, "Oh, this is rubbish, isn't it?" And I could, for the heck of me, I couldn't understand why it's so popular. I thought, "Why is that so popular?" It's absolutely, and I just hate them. Musicals, hate them altogether.
You're not normal, really. Yeah. That's the thing.
One movie I watched this week.
So I want to apologise. Hang on, Pete. I've got to apologise for Pete. Pete is down in deepest, darkest Devon. With his folks and he's on a dial-up system.
Well, I put some more money in the meter. Is that better?
That's better, yes. And so you keep breaking up. But so the movie you have watched, that's what I like, you see. Real stuff. That's
Brexit.
What I like. You turn me off now, Steve. You're talking about a billion. It's not real. It's made up. What's the point of that?
You'd like it, though.
Okay. Yeah, so have you watched the film Brexit, the movie, Steve?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
It was very entertaining. No, it's good, but do you know what? The thing I don't like about this whole Brexit, stay in, go or leave, is why isn't there one programme where you get the facts of one side and the facts of the other side and someone like who's just non-biased in the middle of it, because that's the thing. Like, it is, I know it's all based on fact, but I don't know.
Paxman's one on the BBC the other night was sort of balanced. Had a bit of both. And it was definitely about like the crazy thing of having they all go to Strasbourg every month and take 3,000 people, and it's ridiculous. It's just absolutely bonkers, the waste of money and the whole infrastructure of how it's all set up and all of that stuff. It's a real eye-opener. And the Brexit, the movie, does the same thing, and all the different legal sort of laws and everything that's been put in place and all the regulations. And it is an incredible level of bureaucracy that you kind of go, they probably could do without that. But I'm not sure.
Pete, stop breaking up. What is wrong with you?
Case.
Peter, stop breaking up.
Sorry. Yeah, it's EU. It's the EU broadband. I've got here.
You're getting worse now. Have you got a router there somewhere, or you don't? Have you got a cable? What's happening? Can you stand close to it? Because
I've tightened the elastic band up. Is that better?
Yeah. Well, hang on. So let me ask you now. You've watched Brexit the movie. Let's go to Steve first. Man at the back there with the with the four eyes and turning his
far away
fat lip. No, you, Steve. So what? If you've watched that now, and you see the ridiculousness of, I don't want to load the question, but so what is stopping you now voting out?
Do you know what? Speaking to people, because for example, I was speaking to someone this week who works in a business and is a company based in Wales, and they do lots of business, a lot of their business in Germany, and they can obviously just do the business and it just works. They don't have to do anything. And that they're basically saying if they leave, it'll completely ruin that. There'll be a lot of redundancies. And I'm sure that's the case of a lot of businesses in Britain. That's one concern.
What, but do you understand why, though? People have this... The thing is, people do have this preconception, right, that it will spoil it and it'll go wrong, and yet people are not really looking into the facts of why it will go wrong.
Mm.
Nothing will change, trading-wise. It'll be 2 years anyway before Britain... Listen, it's within the EU's interest to sort out free trade agreements with Britain. Completely.
Yeah, but when you were talking about, in fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and you were talking about big companies like Audi, Volkswagen from Germany. But then, what about the smaller business where they don't need it? What will happen there?
Well, no, you can't just legislate for a big company, not a small company. I mean, you know, it's either trade or not. It's trade. You know, that's it. Full stop. You can't say, oh, because you're spending a lot of money, we'll knock some taxes off for you. I mean, you know, we sell right about 223 billion right into the EU. We import 291 billion of their stuff, all right? And a lot of that is, you know, from the biggest economy, we are the second biggest market for Germany after Germany. Now, what Europe needs and what they desperately haven't got is growth, all right? They really are stagnant. We are growing and we are one of the most successful countries in Europe, but we pay 27 million net to them a day. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's not, that's, you know, after we get everything met, 27, what for? We're doing well on our own. We don't need that. We don't need to spend that. Now, they're not going to... Because they need growth. They're not going to start putting trade barriers or tariffs on us, because we'll do the same to them. And the last thing they want to do as a continent is, you know, suffering from lack of growth or stagnating is to really, you know, limit that or limit the potential of growth. They don't want to do that. It's financial suicide. People are, you know, in fear about this. It doesn't work like that. Business doesn't work like that. You're not that stupid. And also, you know... If we do exit, the project Europe, is completely deemed as unviable anyway. So they're not going to want to threaten that even further by cutting off a major trading partner. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, you know? And I think people are worried about these trade deals. It'll be fine. It will be fine. We'll do a lot better. Do you know, the thing is, people think, oh, it'll be worse. No, we'll be better. Mm. We'll do a lot better without Europe. People understand that. We're flying. You know, we're having to pay that. We're getting penalised. The way the European Union works is that they pay money towards poorer countries that are not doing so well. So essentially, if you're doing very well, you're sort of penalised. You know, you're a net giver to the system. Doesn't really help you in any way. Why does us giving money to sort of Polish farmers, whatever, help us? It doesn't, you know? And so the agricultural sector doing very well out of the EU. Britain's agricultural sector doing less well because they're doing better than agriculture, you know, sectors in Greece, whatever. So I just think... Why does anyone think this is a good idea? £27 million per day. And not only that, you know, the people making the rules, legislating for the rules, and not electing. That is number one in my, you know. I say, you know, don't ever, I mean, Pete, you were saying before about you can't really do a lot in elected. You know, there are people dying in this world, like North Korea and Syria, who haven't got the vote, who live in, you know, undemocratic societies. We have a democratic society, and we become so blasé about it, we're thinking of giving it away. No, but we should never do that.
But do you think if we did leave, we would suddenly have a lot of bureaucracy just inevitably kind of develop within our country? So it, just to kind of legislate for different things that have disappeared because we're no longer part of Europe. Do you think that's a danger as well? And with all of this stuff, none of it's going to happen overnight, is it? It's all going to take years to actually implement. Whereas if you stay with what you've got at the moment, I'm not saying it's good, and I don't really, and I'm kind of on the verge swaying towards, actually, yeah, I'll vote out now.
The thing is, if it does, we have the option to vote out whoever's creating this bureaucracy or this red tape. We have the option to vote out and march on Westminster against it if we need to. We can't do anything if it's done to... That's what I'm saying. We are in control of the bureaucracy in this country. Yeah. We're not over there. The people who are creating it, legislating against it, we have no... You know, we can't touch them. I think, well, we should not give them the power to do that.
The thing that was really starting to sway me as well was this stupid level of propaganda that the Remain campaign is spouting about ISIS would prefer it if we left and all this sort of stuff, trying to really play on people's fears, as well as the film stars and the arts and cultural stuff all signing a letter saying we should stay in. I just find complete nonsense, because we're much stronger than the rest of Europe in terms of you know, world class entertainment and films and all the rest of it, I don't see why we have to be part of Europe to actually make our place on the world stage, as it were.
Yeah, and I mean, actors, what the heck do they know? The actors you were seeing there, the most influential there, are the top tier of acting society. Most actors spend most of their life in, you know, underpaid jobs doing that. I mean, so they're very lucky to be where they are. And they're there because they're in this country. They probably wouldn't have done so well if they're in France or whatever, you know. So I mean, why are you taking advice from these imbeciles who've chosen to go into a really unpredictable career path anyway, and now they're giving other people advice as if they should do? They have no idea what they're talking about. It's like
my only reason now for voting is just to cancel out your vote.
Thanks. But have you seen that?
All your ranting and raving and everything you're doing and everything you're doing, and then you'll go to the poll and you all count for nothing because I'm voting against it.
But I know. But do you know what? I'm just thinking. People are almost, you know, paralysed by the fear, and I'm thinking, no, it's like one of those things. I honestly believe if we did vote out 3 years on the line, we think, wow. Do you remember the time when we were thinking it could have been worse for us? And it actually is a lot better for us, you know. Almost we're unshackled, not only by, you know, the undemocratic, you know, bureaucracy we got there, but financially unshackled as well, you know. And I think, and I know someone said, "Oh, you've got to help parts of Europe." Someone's making this argument, and I think, well, okay, if you want to, yeah, you can help parts of Europe. It's not going to improve our country, though. Pretty much, it's not at all. So, I mean, to a certain point, you have to be a little bit selfish if you want to improve your own country you're in. Then you have to unshackle to a certain extent. It's an unworkable system, really is. And I think, you know, top three reasons not to vote: it's undemocratic, first and foremost, and like we take it for granted in democracy, and we shouldn't do. It's one of those things that, you know, there are, like I say, the kids, you know, mothers, fathers dying around the world because they're living, ruled over by an absolute despot, you know, and murderous rulers, and they haven't got the vote. They'd love to be living in Britain, and I'm thinking we're just giving this away to them on a plate, you know. Secondly, it financially doesn't make any sense. We pay loads of money to them, and like I said, there's 50,000 people employed by the EU. 10,000 of those are paid better than David Cameron. That's a nuts. Yeah. That is absolute nuts.
The stats in that, was that the Brexit one or the Paxman?
Yeah, Brexit one, yeah.
Yeah, it's Brexit. Incredible, isn't it? An incredible level of luxury that these people earn for doing, I'm not even sure what, and they're not even elected.
Yeah. And I just think the third reason is, you know, far from getting worse, like the economy will just grow. It's doing very well. It's doing better than, it's doing better than Europe, not because of Europe. It's doing better than you're even saddled with having to pay Europe. So I think it'll do a lot better on its own. People said, suggesting, like, oh, hang on, the Swiss who are outside the EU moved to London because we are part of the EU, so they could get banking rights and all that. And listen, that wasn't the only reason. You know, London is pretty much the money capital, you know, in Europe and in the world. You know, it's up there with New York and everywhere. You know, it's only New York and London, pretty much. New York, London, Hong Kong, you know, pretty much. If any banks can go anywhere, it'll be there, you know. So to be centre of Europe, to be in the capital bank, in, you know, of Europe, you've got to be in London, regardless of what. You know. And Germany's tried before to take the sort of banking cap. They can't. There's too much history. There's too much talent. There's too much infrastructure. There's billions worth of infrastructure. You know, it'll always be the capital banking centre or financial centre of Europe. And I'm just thinking, you know, we don't need that EU to drag people. It's the unknown, isn't it? It's that thing, it's the unknown, you know? It's like one of those things, put your hand in that dark hole and you may get bitten off, but also maybe a gold bar in there. Most people say, oh, I'm not going to put my hand in there, and it's a gold bar in there. Well, you know, fortune favours the brave, you know?
Until this week, I think I was guilty of just going, yeah, I suppose stick with what you know and all that stuff. I hadn't really bothered, if I'm honest, to really look into it. I'm watching these couple of things and actually starting to read a few things and get a better understanding of it. Yeah, I actually go, wow, I think more people need to get a better understanding because people's views will change. And you won't go, oh, well, we'll just see what we got. I think people would be quite surprised with some of the stuff coming out now. But I don't know if that will really get through in the mainstream media and whether people will understand that, whether the out has even a chance, really. But
I know what you mean, but this is what I think. I think it will be closer than people think. I do at the moment. I know the polls are leaning towards the the Remain campaign, but that's because they're polling people who, you know, may not even vote. What I'm saying is, if you feel passionate about something, if they could do a straw poll tomorrow and collect everyone's opinion in the country, we'd remain, right? But if we're counting the people who are going to go out and vote and are really passionate about it, then I think you'll see a lot more people who are more passionate about leaving than the apathetic are about staying. The most people say, I'm happy to stay, you know. I don't feel strongly about it. I'm happy to stay. It's fine, you know. Yeah. I'm fine as I am, you know. But those kind of people will not go out and vote because they're not passionate about it. The kind of people who are passionate, who want to leave, they get us out of there, you know. So
I think... Do you know what's really interesting? I found that Brexit, the movie... was it actually broadcast on TV or was it just
online?
Right. Is it interesting that I'm seeing loads of Stay in the EU on TV, but then this, and it was really well put together. It was almost, could have been on TV, but it's only on YouTube, and I find that quite...
part of my thought is, what's the motivation for George Osborne and David Cameron to want to stay in, you know? And part of me is...
They've got jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And part of me is because they don't want to upset big business in some way, because they've been lobbied, of course. But let's be honest, they're politicians, you know? Their friends are politicians. A lot of their friends are MEPs who get paid very well, you know? And they may end up doing that kind of thing or working for that. And it's always, you know, it's a lucrative industry. Yeah. Why get rid of that? You know, it's a future industry there. Yeah. Once they get kicked out, once they get kicked out of you know, 10, 11 Downing Street, where are they going to go? You know, I mean, it's almost like cutting off an option for them. I'm not saying they need the money afterwards, but what they're going to do, you know, that's where they all are. Neil Kinnock and all the Kinnocks and all that, that's where they all are. In Brussels, in their own shops, in their own massage parlours, having a cracking time. You know, accountants, they sit, like Nigel Farage, he sits there, he can't do anything. He's not allowed to. The people who are elected by our government, so we elect our government and then we elect MEPs, but those MEPs cannot... vote on legislation or propose legislation. It's what I do. I can't do anything. I just got to turn up. Just for turning up, on top of their wage, they get 250 quid a day, and they're paid. They're paid like, you know, close to a six-figure sum anyway. They get like 225 grand a year for staff costs, which are normally their family and friends. You know, and you know, 41 grand a year just for telephony or phone bills and computer bills and all that. It's just nuts. Absolutely bonkers. I mean, who wouldn't want to stay there? I would. I'd say, this is a gravy. I'm loving this. I'd love to stay there if I had a beer. Absolutely. Anyway, there we are. I'm
rant over. No, I agree with you. It's ridiculous. And not enough people understand that, I think, at the moment.
Yeah. All right, so listen, I genuinely think because of that we'll have a bit of a lot of volatility. People don't think it's going to happen. We've had a bit of a, you know, have you noticed the volatility is picking up, though? We've had, you know, in America, and we've also had the chance of now the Fed saying they may be, you know, up in interest rates in June, which has made the stock markets volatile. So, Steve, tell me, why would an increase in interest rates affect the stock market?
No, no. You tell me.
Peter. I can't tell if he's broken up or he's...
Well, interest rates, an interest rate hike in America, why that would affect the equities.
Yeah.
Well, so more currency, if it goes up, currency will be better off in banks and stuff rather than equities. So it's bad news for equities. Is that right?
Yeah, sort of. It's twofold. So essentially, it's all about, you know, allocation of capital. If you've got investing people, so first of all, in the, you know, if a company, and most companies have debt, you know, they have revolving credit in some way to expand, to invest in things. Now, at the moment, that's very cheap, you know, so they can invest and it costs them very little interest rates wise. And so if the interest rates goes up, of course, they're going to have to pull back on the investment. You know, they can't hire more people. They can't expand as easily because they're caught, you know, it'll take it off the bottom line there. So you've got that. Is, you know, the cost of borrowing goes up, essentially, for companies. And so that's expensive. And also just, you know, cost of borrowing for residential people as well. And mortgages and all that goes up. You know, loans go up. So money becomes more expensive, essentially. And it's also allocation of capital. When, you know, interest rates start going up, then, you know, there's, at the moment, there's only one game in town where you can really earn money. And that's in the stock market, you know, pretty much. You can pay, you know, buy shares, dividend paying shares. They can pay, you know, a dividend of 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%, whatever. Now, you can't get that in banks. So where do people put their money? They put them in the stock market. So when the interest rate starts going up, there's other options. There's bonds. And, you know, you can put your money in bonds and you get a better rate of return if the interest rates go up. So that's why there's a flight of capital for two reasons. You know, cost of borrowing money goes up and cost of living for everyone else goes up. And, of course, there's one other option, pretty much, to invest your money. So that's why it will knock the stock market a little bit. So that's the worry that they've suggested. For a while, they said, apparently the Fed wouldn't raise interest rates at the end of the year, maybe. But now they're saying it could be on the cards in June, which is not. I can't see that happening. They know. They know the talk of the Brexit. There's worry about that already. So I can't think they'd put that on top of the Brexit issue. So I'm thinking probably they're saying July, maybe. But
a rate hike is good for bank stocks.
Yes. So that's why. Yeah, of course. I mean. When you know, if they all follow some central banks kind of thing, so you know, if there's no interest there, they can't earn a lot of money off there. So if it goes up, like you see, Standard Chartered, jumped a little bit this week, and
Lloyd's has recovered a lot now because of the promise now of actually getting it back into private ownership, and I can't remember, it's gone back up to sort of 69.70p, where it was
70
sort of,
pence. It finished on Friday, 70.34 pence, and that's. Yes. Yeah, so look,
but that's going to get hit again by Brexit. That would be a stock that would get hit, wouldn't it? If we went out.
Yeah, but there's a worry over that, of course. But do you know what? Oddly, do you remember that gap? It did touch the gap, which was 63 pence, the bottom of the gap on the chart, and then it's climbed back up now. So that's nice, but now it's knocking its head on the 200-day moving average. Which is so that's that may prevent it from going higher.
I quite strategically did nothing, so I've just still kept my stock. There we go, boom. How to play the stock market, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so what you know
do nothing.
Yeah, I say I want to have quite a few penny stocks, but then to also want a couple of big stocks. I think the next one, I've got to do a bit more research on this, but I'm really liking AstraZeneca. Drugs, because I've got a bank, I've got a Royal Dutch Shell and oil, and now I've got a pharmaceutical opening rolled that with AstraZeneca. And I'm liking the chart there. If it comes down a bit more over summer, I'm in scaling in, guys, and that's another thing. That's another pension stock. You know, hopefully you just hold there, buy at the right level. I think Glaxo has also come down a little bit. It's not at GSK. GlaxoSmithKline, you're welcome. are they called GlaxoSmithKline? They're not just GSK now, aren't they?
They're GSK.
It's not welcome in the end, is it?
Not, no.
Yeah, no, 1360 would be a nice level. It's about 14, 14. Anyway, listen, I'm Boris Self. Just happy birthday, Tony Manini.
Yes, absolutely. And Steve.
Yeah. But, guys, listen, I think, we're going to get some good news, I think, sooner or later from. Because, what they're doing, extending that the asset there, BKM to BKS, BK.
Yeah.
So it's going to be bigger. I think they're going to extend the life of the mine. And so I think there will be a resource upgrade, hopefully, sooner or later. So I think there'll be good news. And and I think now is the time to sort of tuck them a little way when they're above around about the 2.5 pence. Anyway, nice. So it's nuts, isn't it? They were up to 6 pence. I took the chart then. They spiked at pretty much just a tad, 5.8 pence they spiked to in that one day. And they came back to finished 4.89. But now they're at 2.3. I think, yeah, you're right. People lose interest in the stock,
Yes.
Don't ever do that. It's like we've done that before with, Advanced Oncotherapy. We did a little bit and forgot about it. I should have scaled in there. And, it'll take a while. But, plenty of time, though. Plenty of time, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Steve? Just your podcast this week with, is it Dave Whitby?
Yes.
Yes.
Has that made you regret selling your stock? Or are you still happy where you are? Because I thought it was quite an interesting interview.
Yeah, I didn't. I did scale out before. Oddly, the interview I did before, I scaled out before I talked to him, and then I did want to buy some more, and then it was almost suspended, wasn't it? So I couldn't anyway. But no, I'm happy to sit where I am. I mean, I could, people are buying more in there, and I'm just thinking, plenty of time. It's like stock market, it's plenty of time, isn't it? Any stock, I see stock, it's getting caught in that, fear of missing out.
Yeah,
it's like now, Asia Met, people got. A lot of people I know got in when it started really travelling fast upwards, and almost buying on the spike. And now they're sitting there thinking, oh, no. And so, there's plenty of time. You never miss out on the stock. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of time when there's no news on a company and people lose interest, especially on AIM, where it's like a very short-term, thought process goes on and the heat comes out of the stock and then the fundamentals are still there, the story's still there. So, I'm going to wait. There's plenty of time, isn't it? I mean... they've got a long way to go, and I think there's plenty of time to go there. But
what's Dave Whitby's company again, Steve?
Steve,
what?
What's Dave Whitley's company called?
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't hear you properly then, Pete. Andalas.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, all right. I've got to say... He's older now, is he?
I've got to say, he's 10 years older. Yeah, well, it's taken about a year. he was just getting used to CEB and then Seb, and then they changed it. Oh, no. I've got this... For a while, I've got this stock called Atlas. What is this? Atlas.
Something popped up in my Hargreaves and Lansgrounds.
Oh, keep me clean.
And it looked like they'd given me 22 million shares. I couldn't work
that's
out.
That's it.
Yeah, I was like, well,
their bonus warrants.
That's the one, yeah. I only glanced at it and I thought, ooh, that looks like that could be quite profitable if I get that.
Yeah, I've had that as well. Have you got to do something?
Yes, I think you do. I need to read an email. I don't know what you have to do.
Yeah, you've got to take action on it, apparently. ADL...
by the 31st.
What do you mean, take action? Take for what? No.
You got to call up Larry Lansdowne and Harry Hargreaves and say, listen now, boys, I know you're on your yacht in the old thing there, smoking your cigars. Steve here. I want to invest £30 into Andalas Atlas.
All right, so that's only for... So my original shares, which are rock bottom at the moment, I don't know if they'll stay as they are because I don't want them going up or anything.
where did I get it from? Hang on, let's have a look. Where was it? It's from I got mine from Barclays. What did I say? I don't know. It says something like you have to give. Where's it by? Oh, I don't know. I've lost it now. I've lost out my warrants already. Oh, corporate action. It says corporate action needed. Please note, we must be in receipt of your instruction by 5 p.m. Oh, what's the date today?
20th.
5 p.m. on the 20th of May. Oh! I'm only kidding. 5 p.m. on the 24th of May. Each warrant can be redeemed for one ordinary share at a cost of GBP 0.002 pence per share. Or two per share. So
yes.
Once not exercised, this opportunity will lapse. Redeemer, so I must log in. Select portfolio under voluntary actions. Select email corporate action instruction link. Complete all fields. Submit send instruction. That's it. There we are. Oh, option two. If you want to take no action, option two, do not reply. Investor. Oh, I don't know. Just read your email. Just lots of words, you know. But you have to do something.
Cool. That's really good advice.
So there we are. I'm glad I've cleared that up.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, Steve?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
any more?
No, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, then I'll let you get back to it, guys, you know? And Steve...
Enjoy that broadband there, Pete.
You go, wow, I know, that is dreadful, Pete. If you listen back to this podcast, I wouldn't bother, frankly, but if you listen back, you'll see how much hard work it was listening to you.
It was clear at this end.
It was clear in your head, but your argument about EU, I didn't have a clue what you're talking about, to be honest, I'm just nodding. it's like talking to a Dalek on dial-up. They're not good. That's good. I hope you're not standing in there. Imagine you getting that on a debate, on the EU debate. You're going to call again. Right. Well, that's Mr. Dalek there. He's for exiting. Exterminate. Okay.
Better broadband for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
We want broadband. We sound like I'm on dial up.
Steve, did you pull at the award ceremony?
No. Okay, why am I saying that? No, I've got a girlfriend. Why would I pull it?
Oh, see, nearly caught him out, didn't we? Hey! No, I didn't have a good chance. This girl was shooting to me. Oh, my God! I've seen someone!
Tony Blackburn was there.
What? You were trying to pull him, did you? So, come on, Tone. You all right? Just a quick one on the back there. All right? So, did you speak to him, Steve?
So what?
Did you speak to him?
No.
Just kissing, yeah?
Oh. Yeah, just kissing.
Didn't get on a chat, him, just kissed. Deep tongue axe. Right, cool.
Good.
Yeah, you check out your pop pickers. All right, then. Good night. Have a nice weekend, fellas.
You too.
Bye-bye.
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 The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.